advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
We're back.
We are.
It's that time again.
Yep.
And yeah,
you started a Red Bull problem for me. Yep. Only on Sunday.
I didn't do it. You did it to yourself. You act like everybody else is the root of your problems.
You made me do it.
That's not true.
I only drink energy drinks and alcohol on Sundays. I guess it's okay.
Because of me.
That's not a bad breakdown.
Mama always said I was a bad influence.
That's right.
Sorry, that was petting this bottle, though.
You were masturbating it. Star-eyed and petting it. I don't think I really want to drink it anymore.
Yeah, because
that was a little.
I use my clean.
That
hand.
One's
a little phallic.
That's the Cascale. You like?
Yeah.
I use my.
Who
bought my left
that?
Hand,
who got that? Somebody from
the Purs
UK.
From yes. the UK.
The Purs,
Christopher
yeah.
and Haley.
Yeah, I don't like that one. No, it's like you can taste the quality. But it's just too.
Oh, it's
too smoky
unique.
For
it's
me. Like
unique.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm into the scotches. Like that's my thing. So
this has made me like the Yucateco Black. Like I made tacos this week and
smoky,
I put just the Yucateco
flavor.
Black on my tacos. Yeah.
Put a little bit of that in the sauce. Like mix it with the sauce. Like whenever you cook meat.
Make whiskey tacos.
Ooh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't though because this is here. I have to go find this and pay for it.
Just take it.
I'm not sure I want to pay for this. I think it's kind of pricey.
$80.
Probably pricey. Yeah,
I'm not buying this. I'm
going to have it at Venmo.
Jesus.
Damn.
Just
take some with you.
I'm just going to take a little, like fill up my flask. That's a bad thing to start. I'm not going to do that.
Fill
you guys
flask.
Are like, damn, where's all this whiskey
what
going?
What happened to the whiskey wall?
I'm just slowly filling flasks and taking them home.
Everything's empty. So why is the Maker's Mark open?
I just opened it because PBR Man bought it for us. So I don't know if you guys are going to drink it this
are
time.
Are you telling
the
story
round.
Or what? What are we doing?
About PBR Man?
Yeah.
Oh, PBR Man did come visit us. I know. I feel like I already told this story. I just didn't tell it on air. He made it all the way here from Illinois, and he was quite the character. He's reminiscent of Brian Ross, but with if Thor had sex with Brian Ross, and then that baby
and Willow
and became
and Willow because you'd have to have a midget to equal out the size height difference.
No, I was just thinking Duff Man was involved somehow from Simpsons.
Maybe.
Really nice guy though. He showed up with cape and hat and shirt with a 12-pack of PBR and a bottle of Maker's Mark with him and his dad, and we drank PBRs. He's like, I'm not a chugger now. And then he was like three deep by the time I finished the half. It was 9 a.m.
Yeah.
It was I got all scared. I posted that we met him and we drank PBR. And then I saw that like, oh, you're in the picture. And I was like, oh, I better not say Brad drink because you didn't. Mm-hmm. But it was an insinuation.
Yeah, my boss is my friend on Facebook.
Yeah. I put in parentheses.
He's like, how was
Brent.
The morning, Brad? I'm like, good, good.
Good fun. Saw you drink some PBR. With some
when you should have been at work.
Yeah.
So I put my name in parentheses to try to keep you guys out of trouble.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry I had to miss it. I'm glad he came
by. We photoshopped Dave in.
That's right.
Into the picture.
We didn't. I will.
You should photoshop me so I look like the sun.
Ooh. I was just telling you guys about Frankensons, and there's actually one of the Simpsons artists.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got kicked off like in the early days of the Simpsons, but he draws your family as the Simpsons characters. So we have to get Dave done. I almost was going to give him a picture of you. So it could get you done up like a Simpson.
The early days is another time reference.
That's
early days.
That's kind of badass.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I watched them do a family, two little kids and the mom and the dad, and it was like their heads, you know, and it was pretty funny.
Oh, if you go again, you should just take a picture of us and have
him
do it. Yeah.
He does it at the store, Frankenson.
Yeah, he has a little table, a little booth. Yeah, and probably charges $50. I don't know. I don't know how much. Yeah.
27.
I don't know how much.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I could have got some cash off for that.
Give him the Sofa King card. Do you take credit card?
I realized this week that I'm not as tough as I thought I was.
We never thought you were tough.
That happened.
Yeah, I was.
We know you're giant, but you're
just. So you're just as tough as we thought you were.
Right. Well, I take that back. I don't know that I ever thought I was going to be tough in the face of this anyway. But I was. It was when I was teaching my prison class, and class was done. Everything was good. I'm leaving, and you're outside, like the. It's not like you're indoors. You walk the whole thing. You're walking outside, and then you cut in one door, and you're in the education wing, in the cell block, the yard that I'm in. And right out in front of the education wing, it's maybe 100 yards long and maybe 15 yards wide. It's just like this cement outside yard that's fenced in. And there's like a door to the chapel and a door to the education wing and then the library. And then at the far end of it, there's another door, which I assume just leads into where the cells are, because there's always 6 guards just sitting there. Damn. Like every single time they're just like at the door. I mean, they're just hanging out, getting sunburn, but they're always posted there. And when I got done with class and I'm walking out, I walk out and I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I walk out with the guy from the education wing. And as soon as he walked outside and said, what's going on? He just said, oh, fuck. And I was like, and I had no idea why he said, oh,
burning
fuck.
Toilet paper.
But there was there were 5 of the COs were standing around one of the COs, and the CO was on all fours yakking snot out of his face. And he had been hosed down. One of the guards had a hose that looked kind of like a fire hose, but not quite. All the walls were hosed down. The floor was hosed down. Like just moments ago, everything had been hosed down.
Like a Hep C.
And this guy, he was just like hacking. And of course, the other 5, as any 5 guys would do, are just laughing and pointing at him and busting his balls.
Till he has AIDS.
Right, well, no, because, and then.
I hope you know the warden listens to this.
Yeah.
So in trouble.
The guy from the yard, or from the education wing, as soon as he said, oh, fuck, just turn around and walk right back into the door that I just walked out of. And I'm walking towards a gate that has to get buzzed from a sniper tower to let me in. And I walk through where all those guys were. And right when they're buzzing the door open, I just kind of like, I was like, that's like, that's weird.
Tear gas.
Fuck. Ugh. And like my eyes started to run and like my nose started to run. And I just had this,
I think
like
your eyes watered and nose spray. Runs. Yeah.
Just this just dry, super hack. And then like I started to taste peppers and feel like electricity on my tongue because I just like walked through the remnants of the cloud.
Why did the
and as soon as I was like, like as soon as I started hacking, like one of the guards who was like laughing and stuff stopped laughing and he looked at me and like put his hand out and he said, hey man, do you want us to get the hose? And I was like, no, I'm good. And I just kind of walked out. Like I just caught the tail pussy end of the pepper spray attack. And it jacked me up for like 20 minutes. I had to like crawl to my car. I got to the front and like the CO at the very front was like, just saw me like sneezing and my eyes going crazy. And he was like, oh, did you walk through the tail end of that pepper spray thing? And I was like, yeah. And he just like gave me a ton of tissues and I just like staggered to my car and cranked the
cry,
AC
baby.
And just sat there. And that was the thing. I was like, obviously this guy on the ground took a fucking dose of it because he was jacked. Yeah. But it's like the other 5 COs were standing right where I walked through and they're just laughing and busting balls, and I just like caught a whiff and was dying all
the
way. You
answered wrong though. When he says, hey, you want me to go get the hose? You'd be like, those bitches be waiting for me at my house when I get home. That's what you're supposed to say. I sprayed a pepper spray at a pallet that was like 15 feet away one time, like in PetSmart when I worked at PetSmart on night crew. We had like some pepper spray because we were like, let's just go spray it on that pallet and then we go smell it. I mean, it's night crew, like you're fucking off. Like, so and I was the manager, so it didn't matter. Like, I sprayed the pallet and then we're standing there and all of a sudden that happened. My throat started to tickle. We started to cough and then like our eyes started to water and we started backing away. And then pretty soon we're just fucking running away. Like, oh shit. Why did it get us in such an open space from 15 feet away? That shit's no joke.
It's not. And obviously it had dispersed. I mean, and then I'm sitting there, like the fact that the CO had to get completely hosed down and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, the inmate didn't get hosed down. He got sprayed and they threw his ass in a fucking cell.
You don't really want to get hosed down. So since we're telling pepper spray stories, me and 2 of my friends got sprayed in our faces and we had to cross a busy intersection and almost got hit by cars
to a Scientology party.
No. And then and so we didn't know, like it was just burning and eyes are watering and you can't breathe. And so we go to the house and
why did you get sprayed? You're gonna skip that part.
A guy jumped out from behind some dumpsters and sprayed us.
Paparazzi on your way to Scientology.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably was him. But for no reason, we were just like skating. It was when we were in high school. And he jumped out from behind a dumpster, sprayed us, hopped into a car, and took off. Well,
what are the odds that you got pepper sprayed for no reason?
That's what happens. So we go like back to my buddy's house, and we're like, we got to get this stuff off of us. So we go to go get in the, we're going to jump in the pool, right? And so we go over to the pool, and me and my other buddy, we're standing there, and the first guy jumps in. And then all of a sudden, you just hear from underneath the water, and he comes up screaming bloody murder.
It made it worse?
It made it worse.
Hmm.
It made it worse. So needless to say, we didn't get in the pool. So I went home, and my
grandpa... Just like the time you didn't drink the whiskey when me and Dave did, yeah, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. So I went home, and my grandpa was in the military, you know, and he goes, no, just take a damn cloth and just kind of like wipe it. He's like, don't rinse it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, don't rinse it with water. It makes it worse, this and that. And I was like, okay. So you just have to let it go away. And it was horrible. But my buddy... It was bad. Like, it was bad news. Like, I thought we were going to have to take him to the hospital.
I'm immune to that shit now. I keep XXX in an eyedropper now. And yeah. I just.
That might actually explain why all the guards were laughing and busting balls.
Because he sprayed himself down.
He probably got hit with pepper spray, and then they were probably like, oh, if we hose you down, it'll be better.
Oh.
And then he was like,
might have been a rookie.
Yeah, that might be. Because it was fucking. I don't know if he did the spraying, if he was holding somebody down.
Yeah, you put water on pepper spray, and it is not. It makes it, it intensifies it by like 100 times.
It's not as bad as impalement, though.
No,
it is not as bad as impalement.
There's my segue.
That is a good segue. So
depends on what kind of impalement.
Mm, sometimes you like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're talking today about Vlad Tepes, Vlad the Impaler, a.k.a. Vlad the Third.
Tepes actually means impaler,
a.k.a.
right?
Vlad the Third Dracula. Yeah, Tepes.
A.K.A. Son of the Dragon.
Yes. Fucking just legit name. Like, just, I mean, just out the gate, legit.
I didn't have time. I want to find out what about the secret society, the Order of the Dragon.
Yeah, the Fellowship of the Knights.
It's an order of knights.
That was a Bruce Lee movie.
Yeah. It was a chivalric order of knights that was established by the Pope, Sigismund of Luxembourg.
Man, off the top of his head, too. He wasn't even looking at a paper.
No, he wasn't. He's staring straight in my eyes.
I'm looking at, like, notes. I'm, like, trying to find the name.
It was an order of knights, and they were just called the Order of the Dragon.
Which is badass.
And dragon is what Dracul is,
right,
in the language of... And even... This is very... Like, the whole thing is confusing. Like, dear listener, you're ready for us to try to cut through some confusion, because even, like... It's talking about the fact that he was from Wallachia.
Every word is so difficult to pronounce. Like,
he's from Wallachia, Transylvania. And then in some things, it almost makes it sound like Transylvania and Wallachia are the same
thing, but they're not.
Yeah. And neither of them exist anymore anyway.
I haven't looked at a map, and I was like trying to figure stuff out, and I was like, nope.
It's in Romania.
It's Romania. It's modern day Romania near the Carpathian Mountains. But this is the area that he was in. Because I thought, after some of the readings, I thought it was the same thing as Transylvania. Because, people think that he might have been the inspiration for Dracula from Bram Stoker's Dracula. I agree, for the most part. Some people think he wasn't. But he was kept in Transylvania.
He was held captive in Transylvania.
And this is just to clear the times.
This is Castle Time.
This is fully
this
Castle.
This is legit Castle Time.
This is 1400. Legit Castle Time.
I'm glad we got that straight.
Yeah.
So everybody knows.
I'm pretty sure the Dracula thing's real. Everything I read made it really seem like it. And he did things like dipping his bread in bowls of blood of his victims and eating it.
Because these people are like, no, but we don't have a connection. We don't have any proof that he was Bram Stoker's actual thing for Dracula, even though his fucking last name is Dracula.
They were the Dracula family.
But he's super fucking evil.
Even one of the guys was like, yeah, because so apparently there's a poem which is on display, a 15th century poem about him that says that he dipped his bread in the blood of his enemies. And like the scholars that say, no, he's not the source for Dracula, say if you really read it carefully and study like old Germanic, we think it actually means he washes his hands in the blood of enemies before he eats bread.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh, well, that's fucking
yeah, they change it.
Like that.
Did you guys? I read the story.
Let me dip my fingers in the blood.
I read a story that there was like a guest at his dinner table and that he would surround, like there were stories of him surrounding the table with corpses and people would be impaled on stakes around where he was eating. And
yes,
the blood would run to the table and gather and pool up and he would dip his bread in it. And that one of the guys plugged his nose and he said, what seems to be the problem? He didn't say it like that, but he was like, what's wrong?
What seems to be the problem.
How many problems are there? One.
One problem.
Two.
He's way less scary if he's the Count from Sesame Street. That's totally going to be the cover art. I can't do it, though. I take it too serious.
I've got 99 problems. But the peasant isn't one.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Someone write down a time signature mark.
I will forget.
Anyways, he's surrounded by corpses. I guess the stench was horrible, and he loved it. A guy plugs his nose at the table, and he said, what's wrong? He said, I can't. It smells disgusting in here. I can't stand the stench. And he said, oh, don't worry. We'll fix that. And he orders his guys to impale him on the highest post, so he was above the stench of everything. And he was like, there, you can't smell it up there where the breeze is, can you?
He was like a sarcastic killer. It was great. You're hungry?
Jesus Christ.
No, he would talk shit and say, oh, look how gracefully they're twitching, and like make comments about, as they were dying, their convulsions. And I mean, ooh, God. Yeah,
no, he was something. So I had some students, because I when I taught Dracula probably 10 years ago, I had some students who were, I forget exactly where they were from. They might have been from either Hungary or Romania. I'm not sure.
Could have just been Portland. Those schools are weird.
Yeah, that's true. It was twins, and they were from, I want to say they were from Hungary, but we were talking about Vlad, and people had done some research on him, and they were talking about him, and everybody was like, he's such a monster, and he did all this stuff. And then finally, after all this discussion, they were like, yeah, it's really weird hearing everybody talk about it, because like where we come from, he's like on the money, like literally, like
yeah.
They put him, like he's a national hero.
He was like
he repelled the Ottoman invaders from conquering our country, and we consider him a national hero. And we were like, well, what about the fact that he like, how do you get along with the fact that he impaled everybody? And she just said, well, you guys killed all the Indians.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, fair enough.
No, it was it was basically said like he did all of this crazy, like, creative ways. And I had mentioned this earlier. Like, if you haven't heard the Genghis Khan episode, listen to that. And Genghis Khan killed people in brutal ways.
Right.
This guy takes that to a whole new level. Like, this guy is way beyond Genghis Khan. And even he even does stuff similar, like boiling people alive, but kicks it up a notch.
Oh, he's like
the Emeril Lagasse. and I mean,
he's like, bam.
Yeah. He's like, bam. Yeah. He even put spices in the pot. But no.
And for what it's worth, that same student said, because we kept saying Vlad Tepes, and when she pronounced it, she actually said, and I know I can't say it the way she said it, but it was closer to saying Sepish.
Hmm.
And she was like, it's actually Sepish, Vlad Sepish.
And W's or V's.
Right.
There's all kinds of shit going on.
It was a weird thing. But
they said all of his acts were pretty much justified. Like, because of, hey, these guys are invaders. They're trying to fuck with us. We're going to kill them how we want.
But he got kind of too into it.
He got
just killed the drop of a hat. Like, he killed a woman for making her husband's shirt too short.
Yeah, that can. Yeah, I see that.
Like,
that's justified.
He had crazy stuff. Like,
you don't want to see belly.
He killed old people because they're useless. They can't contribute to society. It was like, sometimes children.
Makes sense.
If a woman was lazy, he cut her hands off.
Yeah.
And then put her on a post in the middle of town.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman committed adultery, he would skin her and then impale her to show all the other adulterous women. Like, gnarly, dude.
Yeah, but like, you do that to one lady, and that's it. Like, it's over.
They said that there were so many people along the hedges surrounding. He had like this tall hedge around the castle or something, that there was like bodies on every branch. And if one was to be pulled down by a family member or whatever, one would go back up. So he would just be like, all right, who's fucking off right now? Like, someone's being lazy. Like,
everybody had a quota.
Yeah.
Well, when he moved three bodies up this week.
When he moved into power, he went in and asked how many rulers they had seen. And they were like, I don't know, 15 people have set in this throne as prince. And he's like, they probably don't respect him because they think I'll be gone next week.
Yeah.
So he took all of the empowered royalty and made them work alongside to build his new fortress. Made him lay.
No, it was actually worse than that, because I read that. So this is when he takes actually, let's back up, because it's worth getting to how he got to the country in the first place, because it's kind of confusing, and it's straight up fucking Game of Thrones shit.
Yeah,
it's straight up murderous fucking my brother killed my uncle, and then I murdered this guy, and then this guy killed that guy, and we had a treaty with this guy, and then double, you know.
As long as Joffrey gets fucked up, I'm good.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was one late night, and it was a full moon, and he flew in the window as a bat.
Blah.
Right when I'm drinking,
I almost got a spit take out of you. I would have been very happy. But so his father, who was Vlad the Second, who was Vlad Dracula the first of them,
Vlad Dracul,
yeah,
Dracul, which just means Dracul,
dragon. Yeah. So he settled in Transylvania in 1429, and then he seized Wallachia, the father did, after the death of his half-brother. And the thing is, when you read the history, it doesn't ever say they were killed, they were assassinated, they were killed. All the articles just say murdered.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, that was the only term that was ever used. And I found that interesting, because it wasn't assassinated, it wasn't whatever, but it was like, nope, his half-brother got murdered, and then he took over the country. And then this guy got murdered, and that guy got murdered, because it's just fucking brutal shit. I guess during
war, that type of thing, it is murder. You know what I mean? Right. Like, in war, you weren't just killed, you're murdered.
Well, the other thing too, though, if you're fighting against another country and you kill another soldier, that's different. You know what I mean? Like, because there's rules of war, right? But if you're like, oh, this general next to me, I want to be the general. Oh, he died.
Oh,
oops. Somebody murdered him. It's a little bit different.
And that's straight up what was happening here. Like, just fucking straight up Game of Thrones shit. So he takes over Wallachia, the father does, and establishes his kingdom. And then a couple of years later, he takes over in 1436, and the Sultan Murad II, who's in charge of the Ottoman Empire. So this is the Turkish Empire, part of the Crusades. This is the Islamic faction versus the Christian faction, which is what the Carpathian area is. So he starts invading Transylvania, and Vlad's father refuses to support the Ottoman takeover, and the Sultan, who's like super powerful, invites him and his children to his capital to make a treaty. And then as soon as they get there, he locks Vlad the Impaler as a kid, baby Vlad, and his brother, who was called
it was just Sticks and Rats at that point.
Everybody calls his brother, which Robbie is kind of a diss. This might be why Vlad got a little steak happy, because everything I read always called Radu the Handsome.
Mm. Yeah, because Vlad doesn't look that
handsome. No, he's not that handsome. And it's probably like everybody was like, oh, who's coming into the castle today? Oh, Radu the Handsome and Vlad. motherfucker. But anyway, so they all get invited, and then they basically, he keeps them all there for a year. And then he tells the father, you can go back and run the kingdom, but if you fuck around, I'm killing both of your kids.
Right.
So the enemy takes his kids and they raise them, but they're still royalty. So they raise them with, art and philosophy and science and tactics and warfare. Like, they raise them as they would raise any royal at the time, but it's like they're kidnapped and they're kept from the kingdom.
It's like insurance policy.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So you're going to back the Ottoman Empire's play, or your kids are both going to be blinded and killed.
So Vlad and Radu are both raised pretty much in Transylvania.
Did you see the letter from the father of Vlad II, though, that admits that he didn't just leave them there as an insurance policy. He basically said, fuck it. Like, I'm sacrificing my children. He basically knew that they were, they were going to be killed.
Right.
Yeah. And he went in there fine with that. Just like, throwing him to the wolves.
Right. Right.
Because he's going to go ahead and do whatever the fuck he wants to do, regardless of where they're at.
Right.
It just so happens they didn't kill him.
Yeah, they didn't kill him, but at a certain point, he was pretty certain that they did. And then some scholars think that Vlad learned the art of impalement while he was there.
He said he saw that
because
there,
the Ottomans would do that, but not at the scale that he did. So apparently Radu, his brother, becomes friends with the Sultan's son and converts to Islam and becomes like all friendly with everybody on the enemy side.
He doesn't have any interest in fighting. He just wants to chill, be a prince, get fed grapes and fan. Like, he wants to chill. He likes the lifestyle.
Yeah.
He becomes a Kardashian.
Basically.
Yeah. He probably gets women whenever he wants. I mean, you know, like, it's this royalty.
So Vlad the father sends forces against the Ottomans in the Crusade of Varna in 1444, and he writes that letter and assumes that the kids are already dead, so fuck it, I'm doing this anyway. And then shortly after that, there's peace. I mean, we're skipping over tons of crazy backstabbing weirdness, etc. But so this is just to give you that background. So he's raised by the enemy, but he's being trained on how to still be a prince, how to still be a voivode was the term I kept reading, which was their term
for doing better than me. Yeah. I'd be like, word.
That thing.
And then skip. Yeah.
Which was like a battle leader or a war leader. Doesn't quite translate to prince. But so there ends up being peace between the Ottoman Empire, and then the brothers are let go. And Vlad, the father, Vlad Dracul, and his oldest son, Vlad the Impaler's oldest brother, Mircea, were both murdered in 1447.
Yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion of who did that.
Who?
Probably Vlad.
Yeah, more than likely.
I mean, if you couldn't guess.
Right.
I mean.
So he ends up, Vlad, and again, Game of Thrones status. So Vlad is back from the Ottoman Empire. His dad and his older brother are killed.
Besides Gary Coleman, is there another one?
I think that's it. Gary Coleman's the only midget. So he takes over Wallachia because his father and his older brother are dead. It doesn't matter. It's not like most of Castle Times where, your father was king and he's dead. You're now king. It's like, no bullshit. Can you fucking own it? Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know? So takes over Wallachia for 2 months until his uncle whoops his ass and drives him out of Wallachia and takes over the country. Great fam. I mean,
you got a bastard family.
Yeah.
I got an uncle like that.
Yeah. Drives you out. So that doesn't last for long because guess what happens?
So he gets murdered.
Yeah. Vlad comes back, kills his uncle in combat, and then takes over. Right. So this is the background, you know, I mean, just a legacy of killing family members, fucking conquering.
Well, like, fuck them, though. They left you in a fucking dungeon.
Yeah.
Didn't care. Your uncle fucking runs you off instead of like, hey, you know what? You're not old enough to rule. I'm going to rule until you get a little older.
No, fuck you.
Fuck off.
Yeah. And he probably would have killed Vlad if he could have got away with it.
And at the height of this, Vlad's like 25 or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's debatable what year he was born based off like eligibility for him to take the throne.
Right.
But like, yeah, he's like 25 when the shit's going down. Like, he's gangster immediately.
No, fucking straight gangster. And this is when he ends up, once he takes the country back that second time, is when we get to that thing that you were talking about where he sits down with all the royals. He actually invites all of the royals to dinner, and he says, how many of you have ruled? Like, just isn't casual, like, toast / conversation.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm so glad to be among the, you know, nobility. How many of you have ruled at some point in your life? And then there was like a show of hands, and everybody who raised their hand immediately got rounded up and impaled.
I thought he foot marched them up to the...
No, the families.
Okay.
The families of everybody who raised their hands and everybody else at dinner was marched to a castle.
Okay.
So the ones who raised their hands were immediately impaled. Damn. Every other motherfucker at the dinner was marched to the ruins of his old castle, his father's castle, and forced to rebuild it through the winter, through like harsh weather. And it said until their clothes were literally disintegrated and they were working in the nude in the Carpathian Mountains.
Yeah, they died from exposure, malnutrition. The cliffs were like 1,000-foot sheer cliffs.
Yeah.
So if you just slipped, or if you're like, fuck this, I'm done. Like, just kind of tip over here a little bit. they would fall to their death 1,000 feet.
I mean, that kind of makes sense. Like, because if, like, taking out the rulers, it makes sense because he knows that every other ruler is looking to take over his spot.
Yeah. No, fuck all y'all.
Yeah. And his own uncle and father. Right. Yeah.
Everybody in this room wants to kill me, you know? So he ends up consolidating power. And then one of the things that he did that kind of broke with the tradition, and if I remember right, Genghis Khan did something very similar.
He didn't do it based off of royalty. He did it based off of merit.
Exactly.
Regardless of social status.
So if he killed somebody, if he killed a royal family, normally someone else within that family would fight and murder each other to take control. Yeah. He took all their lands, all their money, all their swords, all their everything, and gave it to one of his loyal retainers who deserved it, and then gave them the land.
Which makes sense. He promoted from the subclass
because they were more appreciative of it. They were, they were more trustworthy, they were more loyal because they never would have gotten to that spot in the first place.
This was before Genghis Khan, right?
I think this was after Genghis Khan. You might want to Google it.
I wonder if Genghis Khan or him learned that through stories or something. You know
what
I mean?
There's a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
I want to see them as Plato figures. Yes.
And Robot Chicken.
Yes. They probably have it.
And this is when he just starts getting into fucking madness, crazy. Like I read one account that he went to war with the Saxons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who can blame him?
Bunch of saxophone fucking players. Saxons. Those guys are gonna lose.
Yeah. And like at one point I read about, again, this is just random side note of the lifestyle of Vlad. There was a point where there was a trade deal in a Saxon city, and the merchants screwed over his merchants. So he had his army go and invade the town. He gathered up all of the living merchants. There were 41 of them in the town, took all their money, impaled them, took all their children and impaled them, and killed a total of 341 people because of a bad trade deal.
Man.
Like, yeah, you and your children.
When he first had taken over his uncle's spot, he was like really popular amongst the people, but they said it immediately turned to fear. It was just because of those kind of acts. Like, he was crazy. He was so, did you read the stories about the golden chalice in the middle of town?
No.
I saw conflicting things. I watched a couple different documentaries, and one of them said that in the center of his hometown, wherever he was at, and another one said in the center of multiple towns that they placed golden chalices, and anyone, just as a show of his power, was allowed to drink from them, but never to take it or steal it. And it just sat there.
Nobody ever stole it.
No one fucking touched that shit, but it was there and you were allowed to do it. But they're like, mm-mm. Like, you say something stinks, he fucking puts you on a pole 12 feet in the air. Yeah. I'm not drinking out of that shit.
Right,
like,
right.
No one would fucking touch it.
And you say it real loud too to make it known. Look, I'm putting the chalice back.
Putting it back.
I'm setting it back.
Walking
right here.
Away.
Yeah, so Khan was about 300 years before Vlad.
Okay.
So he might have actually heard stories of Genghis and used that same system, which is, you know.
He certainly would have.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have heard of Genghis Khan. I mean, he was raised in the Ottoman Empire, who did battle with and or was conquered by Genghis Khan at some point. Like, he would have known all about him with a royal upbringing.
And then one up.
But Vlad the Empire had a dessert called Genghis Flan. That's what they used to have. Because he was like, you know what? I am the ultimate ruler.
It was a blood pudding, really.
It was a blood pudding.
Yeah, it was a blood pudding.
had kind of a milk skin crust on the top.
Yak milk. Yak milk skin. Yeah. Blood pudding called Genghis Flan.
It was a finger food.
Yes, it was finger food.
It was on skewers.
Oh, man.
So he rules the country for a while, and then in 1459, the son of the Sultan who had kidnapped him, his brother's homeboy, Mamet II, who runs the Ottoman Empire, starts to invade Wallachia.
That's a Muppet for sure.
Yeah, it is.
Fucking weird ass.
And this is where the impaling and the fucking shit really takes off. Like, and I think this campaign, like repelling the Ottomans, is what makes people look at him as a military genius and different stuff. Because he was outnumbered 3-1 by the Ottoman Ottoman forces. They had better technology. They had better weaponry. They had better horses. They had fucking everything, plus three times as many people, and they couldn't take Vlad.
They didn't have human skewers,
though. They didn't have human skewers. So one of the things was that the impaling, the reason he started ramping it up so much is because it was a massive, it was basically terrorism.
Yeah.
It was an act of fear.
Let's stop and define impaling so you can paint a picture for everybody as we keep using that term. So impaling is, as it sounds, like Dave said, a skewer, but it's basically like a tree branch. It's like the size of your arm at least from what I saw. And it is your spread eagle. Yep. It's inserted into your rectum.
Yes.
And then horses,
or taint area.
Or taint area. Yeah. Wherever it can enter it. Yeah. I guess it's sharp.
Right between the balls and the butthole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then horses pull your legs over the fixed.
That's right. Stake. There's a horse attached to each leg.
Yeah. And it pulls as that thing is in a fixed position and pulls it
nice
until it goes into you.
Yes.
And then
you
when
can
it's
hear in the snap, crackle, and pop.
And you don't die.
You're like a Rice Krispie
from
tree.
Here's one of the sources that I read said, quote, the end of the stake was usually oiled and care was taken that the stake not be too sharp, else the victim might die too rapidly from shock.
Yeah. So it would kind of move the organs around and kind of.
Yeah. You don't actually die from the impalement. It goes in you and you're just skewered up on a stick with that giant thing up your butt. And you die from exposure, just from starvation and thirst.
Yeah, they leave you.
Sometimes
there.
They would leave it sort of mid-torso. Sometimes they would pull it all the way through your mouth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then they would, because the point was when they wanted the invading army to hit a town and still find the impaled people barely alive.
Yeah.
They wanted to see them squirming
and moaning. You'd be squirming and writhing and making noise. Yeah. And in misery. And they would come up on you like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not fighting them.
Yeah.
Like you're just like, no, because you're the one guy that gets caught. No.
He would often arrange the stakes in various geometric patterns. He would do like different concentric circles around a town.
You're saying like a happy face.
Like a big happy face. Yeah.
You think they had happy faces back then? Like, did someone draw a happy face?
Probably.
You never see that in ancient text. No one ever wrote a happy face in an ancient text.
Yeah.
It's such a simple thing. Like, you think they would.
Nobody had
happy
faces.
Because no one was fucking happy.
Fucking
they're
sucked.
All sad.
Yeah, give me a fucking break. Nobody was happy in
I'm
castle
fighting.
Times.
I'm about to get fucking skewered. I don't have deodorant. Like, fucking my clothes suck. No shoes. Like, this fucking balls.
Yeah. And the height of the. Of the spear often indicated the rank of the person that was impaled. So if he caught a general or something, they would be on a higher spear. So everyone could see that
spear.
Motherfucker up there. Yeah. But I was looking at the numbers and like there was a Transylvanian city called Sibiu and Vlad conquered it in 1460 and he had 30,000 people in the city and the surrounding area that year impaled.
So
30,000?
Yes.
During his retreat from the, I guess, the Ottoman army, right?
Mm-hmm.
That main thing he did, are you about to get to the forest? Like how
no,
far?
No, go for it.
So the forest that they made, they'd used a really weird term of measurement. I don't remember what it was called, but it was
a
huge.
A foot?
No, it was like a hectare or something, but it's not that. So
I think it was a blah.
Yes, it was one. It was seven blahs by 17 blahs.
Was it 1 meter?
So the army rolls up looking for Vlad and he's taken off already. He's already gone. And he had impaled 23,000 people in a grid, in a perfect grid. And it looked like a forest. And the guy rolls up and he's like, what do you do to someone who does this? Like, what could I possibly do to this guy?
Right.
Like, can you imagine rolling up on 23,000? Like, I'm trying to picture looking at 23,000 trees.
That was the Ottoman soldiers that he had put.
So, like,
was the defeat of them. Yeah. That was what made him retreat. That was, I have no idea how to pronounce the town. It was the town
of Sultan
Targoviste or something was the name of the town.
And the Sultan saw that and then he retreated back to Constantinople.
That's right.
No, 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 no. I don't know the rest
My
of
problem
the words.
With it is, like, think about the
that was
act
a good rendition, though.
of just the impalement of one person. So, like, okay, we got this guy. We're going to tie him to a horse. We got to put the stake down on the ground, have the horse pull him so it goes up his butt. Then we got to get a couple guys to lift this thing up and bury it in the ground.
What if it was glorious though, that like they had like so many horses and they rigged up all the rope attachments and like as they thousands of horses pulled the fucking stakes rose and the people slid down on them all at the same time.
Well, that's just what I'm saying. Beautiful think arrangement. How long and the effort that it took and the screams and stuff that are happening while you're impaling just one man, and then put that to like now you got to do that to 23,000 people.
Yeah.
Just could you burying 23,000 stakes is an undertaking.
Out of 20,000 people, could you pick out like all the people screaming and like yelling, and then that one guy that's moaning?
Like, could you pick
that out? Yeah.
But yeah, so the Ottoman army gets to the town and it's just dead. Like the entire town is dead, and there's 23,000 impaled bodies surrounding the town.
That is some.
And they were just like,
and just let's clothes just, and shit. They said there was
let's just pack it up.
There was boys. Birds nesting in the entrails of the bodies.
Sure.
Like, because like, they're like, it's like, oh, this, is this a tree? Oh,
they, made, a meat they made tree. See, this is why he's on money, because he did nothing but help nature.
He did. He was green.
Yeah.
It was all repurposable stuff. It was a wooden stake. He didn't use any plastic.
The crows were able to eat.
Everything was biodegradable.
Yeah, everything was biodegradable. Yeah,
he was very green. Yeah. They called him Vlad the Green for a while. But
he was green before it was
long,
green.
Like, long about 60,000 impalings. They were like, maybe we should. And that was the thing is, they think that he had murdered 80,000 people total in his reign.
Yeah, I read between 40 and 100,000.
Which that's nothing to, you know, Genghis Khan's 20 million or whatever.
Yeah, whatever ridiculousness. But and again, that wasn't but people who died like, in war or people who were conquered.
80,000 were just the
80,000 were the murdered, impaled, tortured. Yeah. And even like, so part of this, right? Because again, the reason, I mean, it wasn't just impaling that made the enemies retreat. Because I was reading about the fact that while they were trying to invade Wallachia, like one thing that he used guerrilla tactics. He would fight in the deep woods and mountains. He would poison wells so that everybody would drink poison in the wells.
As he was retreating, he would attack his own people. Like they called it scorched earth, because back then, like they couldn't bring their supplies. They would live off the land as the armies moved.
Yeah.
So as he was retreating, he would attack the village regardless of if it was his or theirs on either side of the river, no matter what. He would attack, burn, poison
destroy
the wells,
the crops, destroy kill the crops, animals,
burn the food stores. And so as they were moving along, they couldn't eat. They had nothing because as he backed away, he just burned and killed everything in his path.
He would find people who were dying of infectious diseases and he would pay their family to dress like Ottoman soldiers and send them into
that's
the Ottoman
genius.
Camp.
That's
chemical warfare. That's
it was.
Biological warfare. Yeah.
And then at one point,
he'd stuff them in cannons and shoot them into the towns. Like they're just laying and explode all over everyone.
He's like, can you shit in this bucket? For this
Thank you.
Hey, can you do a spinning shit kick right in the middle of the town? Yeah. Put it right on that goblet. Just two girls, one cup, that goblet right there.
I had forgotten about that.
May you never forget, my friend. Otherwise, history will repeat itself.
It just did.
One thing also that he did is he... at one point when the Ottoman soldiers were getting close, he and his men dressed like Ottoman soldiers. They snuck into the enemy camp to try to murder the Sultan. They didn't get to the Sultan, and then a fight broke out and they just caused chaos and confusion, attacking a bunch of people on their retreat. And when they left, I guess hundreds of Ottoman soldiers killed other Ottoman soldiers.
They're all pissed
because
off.
Everybody thought that the other ones were Vlad and his men, and he just left and watched them all killing each other because they all thought
that's fucking
that
awesome.
It was like, no, over there.
You know? Well, back, I mean, because you got 100,000 men in camps, like you're just wearing a costume, you have no idea.
But he was like back, he was retreating and saying like that other group is them, and then get other ones to attack and then fall back to another one. You see why they're killing those other ones? That's them. Yeah. And then they would go,
they're
and
over
kill
there
them.
There's three of them.
Three. But so he was like this guerrilla tactician, and he drove back the Ottoman Empire, which couldn't really be easily done with less technology, fewer men, and
just
balls out horrible fucking shit.
It is confusing though, because right after the he impaled the 20,000 Ottoman people, and then Mehmet, whatever his name is, Mehmed, retreated. Like right after that, the Hungarians captured him for the second time. Like he's been captured a bunch of times.
Oh yeah, just constantly.
Like he's like, like the Hungarians don't give a shit. Like they're not scared.
Right.
Like, that's crazy. Like they just went in, captured him.
Yeah, let's get him.
And held him hostage.
But after, like, once the war was going, there was a letter from him that they still have. And it says, I have killed peasants, men, women. This was him writing to, I believe,
Henry Ford.
I was just going to make that fucking joke.
I always steal your head.
That's funny. Yeah.
I don't understand.
He wrote a letter to Henry Ford.
Okay.
Clyde.
He was writing to another king and he said, I have killed peasants, men and women, old and young, who lived at Oblukitsa and Novo Solo, where the Danube flows into the sea. We killed 23,884 Turks without counting those whom we burned in homes or the Turks whose heads were cut by our soldiers. Thus, Your Highness, you must know that I have broken the peace.
For one, 23,884. Like, literally, yeah, a button and two. He's like, he's really fucking, someone's counting.
Yeah.
He's all, shh, no, wait. Some asshole's all 83, 24, 67. He's like, damn it.
God damn it.
Walk back to the beginning of the forest.
You don't do that to Vlad the Impaler.
No.
Like, oh, you want to count, huh? Count how many stakes are in your body.
So I think in that city, 23,884 were impaled, and that's not counting the Turks who died in battle,
I think that's
not counting the people who were locked in their homes and burned.
Yeah, and I think that might be off because that was the year before census. Like, he was just using that.
Yeah, it was a rough, you know, it was a guesstimate.
They probably just counted the trees that they had to cut down to make those stakes or something, I bet.
Maybe.
Yeah, because that's something that they could...
How many stakes did we have?
Yeah.
20,732 and a half. That was for the one baby.
Yeah. Cause he did. So other tortures, he would drive nails into people's heads. He would cut off their limbs. He would have them bound until it killed them with ropes, strangulation, burning, cutting off of noses and ears. He would mutilate sexual organs, especially with women. He would scalp, he would skin, he would tie you up outside. So you died from exposure to elements or wild animals. I mean, just an endless array of horrors that he
did. You read when the nails went in their heads, like what that was about?
No.
Someone visited from somewhere that they wore turbans. I can't remember where they were from.
Yeah. But so in their culture, they couldn't take their turbans off.
Yeah. And so they came to visit him and he was like, why don't you remove your turbans? They're like, oh, we can't. We can never expose our head. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he nailed them to their head and sent them back and said, let everybody know. And that might've been the Ottomans. I mean, that might be what have sparked one of those battles. Cause he nailed their turbans to their head.
It was the Turkish.
Sent them back and
it was the Turks.
Yeah. And he said,
yeah, I think it was the Turks.
He's like, let them know that when you're in my kingdom, you follow my customs, not yours. And he nailed their turbans to their head and sent them back.
Fuck.
Yeah. He didn't kill him though. It's amazing. He did all this stuff and didn't kill him. Like,
well, sometimes it's better to let them live and send them packing. Like,
I know, but like, think about, like, they didn't know what was in the brain back then.
Like in Vietnam,
right.
They just fucking stick this nail into your head.
I was trying to picture, like, what kind of nail did they nail it through his skull?
It was just a thumbtack.
You know, it's just psychological.
You know, the telephone, you know, like over the years, it went from, you know, a little thumbtack to nail.
It was just him. He had a stapler. Yeah. He was just like stapling it.
Did you know
that
the Vietnamese, like in Vietnam, would, like, if they captured someone?
Swing line stapler.
for psychological warfare, they would cut off the guy's testicles, put them in his mouth, and sew his lips together, and then bind his hands and send him down the road back to the...
So when they undid his mouth, his balls would come out?
Yeah. Or you had to chew them up and swallow them so you could, like, because you're walking miles with your balls in your mouth and your hands are behind your back.
Does it still
hurt?
Or you
just have to sit there with your balls in your mouth for however many miles you're walking.
Fuck.
Yeah, crazy. And they did that thing in Vietnam where they would tie you to the ground.
I'm pretty sure you die after when your balls get
planted,
cut off.
They would plant bamboo under you and then stake you to the ground and the bamboo would grow through your body. And it happens quick.
Bamboo's violent.
Everyone thought that was a myth. They did it on Mythbusters and they put a body on there and they planted bamboo and in like 7 days it grew straight through the body.
Yep.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That's some slow impalement.
That's rough. Yeah. So, and you had mentioned the copper pot.
Brad brought that up. The big Indiana Jones people cooking pot. Like
we had talked about it in Genghis Khan, that Genghis Khan threw dudes into a giant pot and boiled them.
The generals,
This guy took it to a whole new level. So he has a giant copper cauldron.
Right.
Right. So imagine that setting on a fire. It's not lit. Right.
Yeah.
We don't light the fire yet.
No. There wasn't even water in it.
Then the lid is a giant wood piece with holes cut in it.
Right.
He would stick their heads, their necks in the holes, so just their head was above the lid.
It was like whack-a-mole.
Their bodies were hanging into the water. he would, or into the pot. He would fill the pot with water, light the fire, and let them scream bloody murder as they were being boiled to death.
How long does it take to boil someone alive? Like, when do you actually die? For a little while, it's like a nice hot bath, and it gets jacuzzi. You're like, ooh, yeah, this is, you know,
it's kind of nice. Thanks, Vlad.
Yeah, once you hit 100 degrees, though, like you're boiling,
your skin starts coming off.
Yeah, you're probably alive for 10 minutes.
And it until had to, shock happens. I mean, it had to take a minute to heat up all that water, too.
Well, it's going
to
take, how long does it take for a pot of spaghetti to start boiling?
A long motherfucking time.
Like, yeah, like 15 minutes,
and make this
10
a
minutes.
Giant fucking Bugs Bunny cannibal pot, and that's going to take forever to fucking
Yeah, it's
going to
take a couple hours as it's warming up, and you're just cozy in there. Which guy peed? I want to know what one of them peed in the pot.
I peed right away.
It suddenly got warmer.
Yeah. There's blue dye around him. Vlad, he pissed his pants.
I wish that really existed.
The blue dye in the pool when you piss your pants. I think it does.
Just trick your friend
into
taking something that makes her piss blue instead, and then go swim with them.
We used to take the fake baby poops or the fake poops, and we'd take them into the pool and like let them go. You know, like
where did you do that?
At the trailer park pool.
Where'd you get fake baby poop at?
Like from the prop store, like or Halloween store or whatever. They have poop. we got suspended. It was April Fool's, and we had a diaper, and it had like a fake shit in it, and it looked pretty real. Like it was nasty. Like it was stained looking. And so my buddy takes it, and it's April Fool's, and bad idea. Don't throw the poopy diaper on your teacher.
Yeah. Like,
she fucking freaked out.
Yeah.
And we got suspended.
One time at Thanksgiving, my aunt made the super shitty brownies. Like they were fucking awful. They were horrible. And so me and like my brother something scooped out like half the pan of brownies. Cause like, she's like, no one's eating my brownies. And so we scooped half the pan out. Like, oh, we're going to do something nice at first. We're like, oh, we'll make it. Yeah. We'll throw them away or something. No one's eating the shit. Then we started messing with it. And then like, we made a turd out of it. Yeah, like, oh, this looks just like shit. It looks real. Like,
right.
So we went and put it in the toilet and then just set it in the toilet perfectly. So it looked like someone's shit didn't wipe or flush. And then I think my aunt was the one to walk in there, and she like told my mom someone didn't flush, and then we told my mom it was her brownies.
And like she made shit brownies. That's the worst. Like your brownies taste like shit. So
she might listen to this. It's all coming to light. Yeah. It's been 20 years.
You missed the chance to like walk in and pull the turd out and eat it.
Oh, yeah. That'd have been a good one.
Like Caddyshack.
Yeah. Mom, Brent's in here eating shit out of the toilet. And he's in there just shit all over
his
face.
The thing is, there was still toilet water on it. That's not really the same as a swimming pool. I don't know. That's taking the joke too far, I think.
Well, we wouldn't eat it either. It was like silicone, so.
He's talking about the brownie one.
Yeah, I'm talking about the brownie one.
I know.
Yeah. It's a little toilet water between friends. So the other thing with the impaling.
Okay, you just went right into that.
The babies.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Oh, like, the mothers.
You guys were talking about this right before
the show.
We were
trying to figure out, there's some stuff in the reading that basically
There's a few different ways that this went down.
He would impale the mothers and their babies. And so Brad and I were trying to figure out if he impaled the mother, because the passage said that watch the babies fight for life at their mother's
breast
teat or something. Yeah, they would try to suckle. So I felt like he impaled the mom and then handed the baby to her, because her motherly instinct would be, don't drop the baby, hold on to the baby for dear life, let the baby suckle until you can't anymore.
And then the baby would just die eventually.
Then, and the baby would sit there and squirm and die while its mom is dying on the steak. But then the next part was, Brad, cutting the boob off. I don't understand.
Yeah, they cut the breast off, and then they stuffed the baby inside of the mother's chest and impaled her. So it went through. I believe that one went through the baby too.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't understand. He's like, you know what? Let's try something new.
He's like, you know what my favorite game as a child was? Peekaboo. Like, like stuff the baby in just for its head. Peekaboo.
I think it was. I think like the term the impaler just got to him. He was
he was creating new and inventive ways. Because
The thing is, I read one thing, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but it said that at the time he was called Kaziklu Beg in his language, which meant Impaler Lord. Mm-hmm. So like even back then they would call him Impaler Lord. So at a certain point he was like, well, like, you know, I'm sure like he was like with all the other princes, like all the other voivodes, and they were like, well, that's cool you impale people, Vlad, but fuck, one trick pony, you with the horses, fucking stake through the ass, like getting a little boring. You've done that, what, 80,000 times now? He's like, fuck you guys, I'll impale someone's head with a nail. Like, you'll talk about it, you know, and then it's like, I'll stick a baby in a breast and impale it that way.
Like, I even read that when he was in prison that he was like catching and torturing rats. Like, he was doing creepy shit to rats in the cell.
Yeah, I think we got ourselves a serial. I think we got ourselves a serial killer.
Yeah, like on a fucking epic scale. Yeah. But so he ends up, and again, the timeline was confusing. At one point, the Turks did make it to his hometown.
I read that it was that after the forest, that his brother, the handsome or whatever, was promised the throne if they could defeat Vlad, and that he was the only one. He apparently led them through the forest. Like, everyone else retreated, but him and like a band of some soldiers walked through the forest of people and went all the way to his castle.
Brother won't kill me.
At that point, he was like, oh, well, he's in that castle, and they sieged the castle. And this was really cool. Did you read about the horseshoe thing?
No. Did you read about his wife?
I didn't see the wife thing.
Okay. Give me the horseshoe.
To get out of the castle and retreat to try to confuse them, he had all of his horses shooed backwards. So they put the shoes on all the horses backwards. So when he retreated, they couldn't figure out which direction he was going. It looked like they had run into the castle, and they had actually run away from the castle. Rumor has it. Yeah, I didn't even know you could do that. I mean, I guess you can. And
I'm sure it's not too pleasant for the horses, but I doubt it. Yeah, again, another innovative way to impale. Yeah,
like in advance, he had already, you know what, just in case we have to run away, let's put all their shoes on backwards. Yeah. Like, that's a trip. I wonder what other, like, you know, soldiers or if that had been done before.
Right. I don't know. But it said, because it said that he escaped, but that his wife didn't. And once they broke into the castle, his wife was like up in the tallest tower, and she jumped out and killed herself.
Oh, shit. Huh.
So his wife, to avoid being captured by
I hope he impaled invading her one last time.
And that was in the movie, the Bram Stoker's Dracula by Francis Ford Coppola. We see that happen, and that sort of tips off the whole movie. But in the true history, the wife jumped out and
there's a new movie coming out called Dracula Untold, and it's this story, but I think they still merge it with some weird Dracula.
Yeah,
show.
Well, he's got to be vampire.
But they show the actual Vladimir, like the impaler type stuff, the wars and all that stuff.
I found a post by a person from Romania that said that another way that he would impale people is he would lay them on the ground with their like legs spread and then go through the anus, but they would hit it with a big hammer. Ooh. And it would go up, and it said they were careful not to hit the heart or liver so that they could live. Yeah. Like, so they just drilled it in them like that too. It's insane.
It just rips through your intestines. Bored.
Yeah. Just bored. Coming up with new ways to impale people. So in 1462, he ends up getting, again, just fucking Game of Thrones weird shit. He's meeting with the king of Hungary to broker a peace. And then as soon as he leaves the thing, and he was like, fuck you, I'm not having peace. But the whole thing was a trap. And when Vlad left the meeting, a bunch of Czech mercenaries captured him and imprisoned him in Hungary. So he ends up getting captured, and he was in prison from 1462 until 1475.
Yeah, they said there was just nothing, no writings preserved from that time period.
No.
So a lot of this shit is like speculation anyway. A lot of this is based on writings and folklore.
Right.
Some of this may have been embellished, you know, but it's all we have. Some of it I'm so impressed with, like on August this. But there was one in here that it was like, it was hilarious.
There's a lot of controversy.
It was like, in July or August or March. Like it was so all over the place.
Yeah, and there was one is like in 1446 or 47.
Right.
Like, they don't know.
But even like his birth and death dates, they're like he was born somewhere between 1428 and 1431, and he died maybe
they don't
in
know
1477
the
or 1476.
They do know, because it says it's an undisputed fact that he was decapitated by the Turks, and then his body was sent back to Constantinople.
They chopped him up.
They chopped him up and sent him back. So that was like an undisputed fact. They just, the dates are kind
like
of...
Like what, when it happened, they
and
weren't
And they impaled
sure
his decapitated head in front of his own house. Impaler gets impaled. Nice.
Yeah, the impaler gets impaled. So he ends up getting captured.
I mean, that's a suitable finish.
Right.
If he died any other way.
Dude, I think they should have like impaled him though. Like they just cut his head off. That's quick.
Well, they were trying to be They weren't as creative.
They also want to be like, okay, we got him, get him. That was a smart thing. Yeah. Like in the movies, they tell you a story, they hold the gun.
He was captured fucking like four times and held captive. Right.
And he keeps getting his kingdom back because even after that, he gets out in 1475 and he immediately goes back, takes Wallachia back, and then he ends up dying defending Wallachia against the Turks yet again in 1476 or 1477. I mean, just straight up Game of Thrones shit.
Aren't you glad we live in the time we do?
Yes.
Like, think that was like 1492. Then there's Columbus fucking people up like a few years later. You know what I mean?
Not that much longer.
What would the population of the Earth be?
I think it really matters on what side you're on. Like,
I don't know that it does. You're either
with
a fucking
Vlad,
peasant,
I don't think
like,
it mattered. He was in pain.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, as long if you were one of his, like, good dudes, like then you're cool, you know. Like,
I guess if you're just rich,
then the Turks get you though.
But even if you're rich as shit, stuff's still going wrong. Like, I don't know, man. I'm glad I live here now. Like,
no, it was fucking ruthless and brutal, man.
Now there's gonna be a whole new generation. They're like, people used to die of cancer. You couldn't buy that.
What a bunch of savages.
They're all, you couldn't buy those pills at Rite Aid that would just get rid of cancer. He's like, damn, my back. I think I got a case of the cancer. Mm-hmm. Right, take care of that shit. Back.
You better go get. You better go take it. Die. You better go get an Excedrin tumor.
Yeah. No, that used to
I got a migraine. I got Excedrin migraines. I don't have no Excedrin tumor. You're gonna have to go to Wall Aid.
Yeah, you're gonna have to go to Fast Trip. They got some there. Yeah.
Fucking Circle K and Fast Trip had merged at that point.
That's true. It's Circle
Fast
Trip.
K.
Yeah.
But Circle Trip. Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah, Circle Trip is good. I gotta give you that one.
But again, so and everybody, you know, I read a whole article saying that these scholars dispute the connection between
Dracula,
Vlad, Bram, and Dracula. Yeah.
I take it back. Everything's at Costco in the future. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you might be right. But
Sam's Co.
Some of the most famous pictures you'll find are woodcuts that were made of him. And I didn't know this, but you'll see woodcuts of him like eating dinner and then like everybody's impaled around him as he eats.
Right.
And there are people chopping up bodies right next to him while he eats and all this stuff. And I had read that they're from books that were published in 1480, which was only a couple years after he died. But this was shortly after movable type was invented in the first place.
Right.
And they started selling these books, and apparently like the stories of how fucked up Vlad was like made the book sell like crazy. So they added like gruesome artwork in these books to like for like horror factor.
When I read that movable type, I started trying to picture that like engineering wise. I was like, damn, they had to have like a million letter E's, you know, like they just line them all up on this little grid. And how did the spacing not look weird? Yep. And they'd write it out and hit it with ink and
pull it down and press it. Yeah, it was
for one page.
But then you would press a shitload of them, you know. But
there's a bust here that's carved and he has fucking vampire teeth. Like, I wonder if that's new or old, but it looks like an old, like his thing.
That's badass.
Oh, I don't know. That is badass.
We need that picture.
But yeah, so people think he was or wasn't the inspiration for Dracula. But most people think, I mean, all the information about Vlad would have been in the British Museum and the libraries and everything. I mean, he wrote Dracula in 1897. So this information was done. The bulk, from what I had read, the bulk of the historical research.
Hundreds of years later.
Yeah. A ton of the historical research about Vlad, I want to say, got written in the 1820s. So it would have been around.
Right.
And the fact that his fucking name is Dracula, they're like, well, we can't make a connection. How about his name is fucking Dracula?
Transylvania, Dracula, impaled with a wooden stake.
The impaling is all.
Because he did die. Like his head was impaled and he would have been able to kill him.
Off.
I think like, and being a writer, like, He was looking for inspiration.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not just going to steal this story of this guy and write about it. That's history.
Right.
Like, how can you embellish it and make it better? Oh, he's a fucking vampire, because vampires were probably some sort of folk story then also.
Yeah, they were called Moroi.
Nightwalkers.
Moroi. And they were like Because Eastern Orthodoxy religion didn't hold that there was a purgatory. So you either died and went to heaven or hell. But if you were somewhere in the middle, you walked around as like this ghost slash. Sometimes it was like spiritual. Sometimes it was your body was back alive. But they would feed on the energy of the living, according to the mythology, which again ties in to this vampire idea of feeding on the living, but, you know, via blood. But yeah, the main thing that people use as the argument that it wasn't Dracula is that his notes, Bram Stoker's notes on the novel were discovered and released in 1972, and nowhere in the notes did he say
that I'm basing anything.
This character on Vlad the Impaler.
Why would he?
But it's like, why would he? Like,
I want you to think I'm a great, like, this great.
Well, but the fact of the matter is, if you're taking all these notes about something you're writing, if the kernel of the idea has already hit you, you don't need to put it in the fucking notes.
Make it up. Yeah.
Like, if he's already like, oh, fuck all that shit I read about Vlad, I'm making an evil character about that. Yep. Let me start writing down some notes about that. Like, you wouldn't put it in the notes. That was the baseline.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. It's a lot of scholars think that it was the inspiration. A lot of people don't, but everything I read, I'm like, how would you not think this was the fucking, yeah, he never said in his own words, Vlad was the inspiration for Dracula, but
I don't think you would.
But yeah, exactly. So, but, and I will say I've read, you know, a lot of books in my day, and Dracula is a pretty fucking badass book. Anyone who hasn't read Dracula, you deserve.
Is there an audiobook?
I'm sure there is. It's a fucking great book. It's a really good book. I love Dracula. That's why.
How scary is it at page 60?
Not scary at that. It's probably 1500 pages.
There's one part where it's mostly not scary. It's like it's more of an action. I mean, it's them hunting Dracula through London is what most of it is. But there is a part where Dracula, there's a ship log. They're reading the captain's log of the ship that Dracula came over on. And it just starts like, oh, we've just set sail. Like, everything's great. And then it's like, oh, this fog won't break. And there's weird noises at night. And like a crew member disappears. And like, it just,
spoiler,
it just kind of keep like it keeps getting creepier.
We don't need to read it now, Brent.
Yeah. Plus when you said captain's log, all I thought was Stardate 6.
Me too. I did the same.
But that's the only part. To me, that was the only part of the book that actually got scary, because you're reading this captain's log as everyone is going crazy and disappearing because Dracula's on the boat.
That's feeding, more suspenseful,
you know. But it was kind of creepy. But it's.
I think he's just misunderstood. Is all.
Wanted to be loved.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, that was it. Like, I mean, when he was a kid, his mom never impaled him through the anus with a giant spike and horses, and he was just trying to fill that anus horses sized hole in his heart with 80,000
anus sized hole in his heart.
I mean, if you really suppress the gayness that much, like that's how it comes out.
I don't think that's how it happens.
No,
no,
I would think.
So takeaway is Genghis Flan and Genghis the Count Flan from Sesame Street.
Yes.
Yes. I want to have some Genghis Flan.
Sponsors.
How many guests do we have? One.
One.
All right.
Oh, that explains why he knew it was 23,884.
He's counting Dracula, motherfucker.
That number was so
accurate. So Sesame Street. Okay.
One impaled person.
We got Bram Stoker took the character, made it Dracula, and then Count Dracula is also based off
Wait a minute. Is Count Dracula a real character, or is that just the Sesame Street guy because he counts?
No, he's a count.
He is a count.
Yeah.
Count.
And his name is
Count Dracula.
Accounts Dracula payable.
So he is Count Dracula. Yeah.
Accounts payable Dracula.
That would have taken forever.
Accounts payable.
Next to him.
Accounts payable Dracula. Like, that's the tax. It's my tax guy.
20,184.
All right. You guys ready for your beating the
You owe the IRS.
Stupid. Sponsors.
Yeah.
Kill the Dracula horse.
Yeah.
Thank you, El Yucateco. Thank you, Digital Creations. Thank you, PrintDirtCheap.com.
Free sponsor.
Thank you, Dark Side Graphics. And thank you, Dan Camarillo. Also, shout out to Ben Forrest on Facebook and Adam Arismith. I probably butchered that. So
two shout outs.
Stupid.
One stupid.
Genghis Flan. I love it. It's good. I want a shirt.
Yep.
Sorry, I couldn't be more witty. I tried.
That was great. That was perfect. I like it. I want a shirt.
You want a shirt? We can't make shirts of everything.
We can too.
Jesus Christ.
The internet.
We need a fucking, like, if you are a graphic designer that can make like Castle Times, because like I can do graphic.
UK hit us up.
Yeah, I can do graphic design, but I have my own certain style. Like I do logos. I can photo manipulate, but like doing illustration is not my strong point.
That's rough.
Like I can paint and draw, but I can't illustrate. Like this is different. So, yeah, I mean, if somebody's out there, hit us up, like, let us know. Cause if you can draw some cool shit, maybe you'll get some royalties off of it.
Yeah,
or nothing and just do it for cool.
Yeah.
You did that in the wrong order. You should have left that part out. Yeah.
No, I want to be fair.
A Genghis Flan shirt.
Yeah. Or better stuff. I mean, like stuff that people will wear.
Nah, man.
That was the greatest, like, hidden diss of the month.
Or it was his own joke. Genghis Khan is. I just see Genghis Khan.
I know, but it was
like
it
a
was
fork
just
and
words.
A knife at a table.
It was like words, and you turn it into a fucking, like fucking fashion statement. But anyway. All right. Is that it?
Yep.
Don't be retarded.
Nightmare walking, psychopath talking. King of the jungle, just a vampire stalking. Nightmare walking, psychopath talking. King of the jungle, just a vampire stalking. Nightmare walking, psychopath talking. King of the jungle, just a vampire stalking.
Much anger, but I'm much more chill. And I almost can't deal with the stress chamber that we openly feel. No satisfactory kill, I'm keeping it ill. Nobody wanna see me unless they real, raw. Kill them like I was a Native American Choctaw. Still them with the fear I got, I ain't no knockoff. Always have ability to take your top off. Split your wig bag, stop off at your house, make the drop off. Talk all you want, but I'm working at box off. Stock with the cock, I'm a hawk looking for the prey. Not a little gubby that's always waiting to pop off. Daywalker with deadly ways, Dracula in the Acura, so enjoy the blaze. I'm branded by the backhanded, keeping it candid, taking these shots. Whether it's bloody, whether it's sunny, whether it's midnight, whether it's not. I'll be here standing alone with my family strong. I don't gotta tell you twice when I say something. It's on and you'd be gone. I'm psychopathic and strange, deranged and mad insane. You got me twisted, I'm the ambassador of this dark shit. I'm the capacitor, but don't spark it. Going viral on the black market as that murderous rhyme. Survival is vital, letting everybody in the world know that I'm a
nightmare walking, psychopath talking. King of the jungle, just a vampire stalking. Nightmare walking, psychopath talking.
Get behind me, dirty rascal, greasy alfalfa, fuck stymie. Pull out my Kool-Aid stick, she's on a rag, I got my red wings. This is nightmarish, psychotic type thing. But naked under my snuggie, jacking off into a sham. Wow, chop the baby up and ship it overnight to Moscow. Spit on the grave of the Christian apostles. Blood-sucking freak, buckle room at my hostel. Cerebral contusions, internal bruising, desperately seeking Susan. Locked in trunk, let's go cruising. I'm rolling with the right crew, Nosferatu. We be nightmare walking. Tell me what the fuck do you do? Skin on the tip, ghetto bro shit. Slit your throat, bitch. Sacrifice a goat, quit. Dump the whole clip. Ding dong, ditch. Flaming shit at your front door. Yo, them last niggas fell off like video rental stores.
Nightmare walking, psychopath talking. King of the jungle, just a vampire stalking. Psychopath talking. King of the jungle, just a vampire.